Family,
are you happy this morning? It's a beautiful morning, and especially because this is the Sabbath, but mostly because we are we're going to partake in communion. How many of you are prepared for that? Praise the Lord. I just want to take at least 1 minute to thank you all. Thank you very, very much for your prayers, for my safe travels. As I went in a quick trip all the way to the East Coast, to Virginia, where my father had a surgery, thank you for your prayers. The surgery was successful. Praise the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for that and also to all of you. But before I went over there, I want to thank all of you that were able to come. We work around that camp or the church property grounds. But as you may see, there is a container that we still need to fill out. So there is still a little bit more work to do. Thank you for those that were able to make it, and I know tomorrow we're scheduled to finish the work, so I will, in a way, encourage especially those warriors, those soldiers of the Lord to be able to come tomorrow. Unfortunately, I won't be here tomorrow because I station once again in Soquel. So my work starts full time for the next 2 weeks in Soquel again, but our brother David will be leading tomorrow, so I will encourage a lot of you, and all of you, if possible, to come. And even if you might think, you know what, I can't do this, but just by your presence, you will encourage those that are able to do the work. And I want to thank, a special thank Barbara and her daughter, Regina, because through her, we're able to get those machines up there that makes the work more easy for us to handle. And you know what? All of you are a family of the Lord. How many of you say amen? We're a family. And this house belongs to the Lord. And it's such an amazing way to show the Lord how much we love Him and how much we care about His house. And I want to thank Con and Clarissa and the family. I mean, just to see them work and to see how much they love the Lord is an inspiration for me as a pastor. And thank you, because, you know, I'm pretty sure no one asked you, because but you desire that from the heart. And they were here cleaning and helping, and even Con, you know, bringing all these tools and things like that. Praise the Lord for that. How many of you say amen? So thank you. Thank you for that. And I know, and I as a pastor and the majority of the people, I think everybody feels that they're also part of this family. So praise the Lord for that. Angie, praise God, because God had also delivered you from your surgery. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Thank you for your prayers too, praying for Angie. And to see her here, it's just a way to know how much God loves us and love her too. For those who are actually planning for the Exodus tour, Egypt, Jordan, and Israel for next year, May, after our communion service, please remain in your seats. We're going to take at least a couple minutes to give you the last details that you need to know, specific if you want to secure a place. I have already 87 people. So how can, from those 87, how can I reduce the list? Because I'm only able to take 40, 48 the most. So please, if you're one of those that wants to go, of course, you know, the ones that I'm making a priority to take is you and Santa Clara. But for some reason, there is already news going all over, you know, including other churches around that area. So, but please, if you're one of those that are actually trying to or planning to go, please remain in your seat after our communion service. And of course, today I would like to see you at Monterey Bay Academy. If you want a little bit more details, please contact or see. So we all want to be there. I'll be there. So I hope to see you there too. So I know time has fly, but let's just spend a few minutes in the Word of God, because we have also communion today. So before we open the scripture, how about we get your Bibles? I don't have a presentation for you today. I know you're used to me projecting the scripture so that you could read. But how about if we take the Bible right now, and let's go to the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 7. And that was actually our call to worship this morning. But before we start reading the Word of God, and before we in a way, hear the message from above, let's just bow one more time for prayer to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in this study this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for another day of life. But I want to ask that it is through the Holy Spirit that you inspire us, especially to hear you. May these words be a transformation to our life, but mostly, Father, it will be the living waters, the in order for us to get closer to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just open our Bibles real quick and Luke chapter 24, verse 7. You there? Luke 24, verse 7. My Bible says, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Now, let me tell you that message of redemption or the message of salvation could not be complete without the resurrection. How many of you say amen? Yes, Jesus came from heaven to earth, right? To redeem what it was lost. But at the same time, he went to the cross to be crucified, to pay the price, your price, my price, the price of death. But believe it or not, for some reason, many Christians up there believe that the message of redemption ends on the cross. Do you believe that? It doesn't. It doesn't end there. Why? Because our message today will tell us how important is Jesus' resurrection. Because without that resurrection, the message of redemption or the message of salvation would be complete. So, many people up there, as I mentioned, try to understand. I would like to ask you, do you understand what the resurrection means to you? Do you understand? Do you know what it means to you? Do you know what it means to the Christian? Because many up there understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be the plan of salvation as a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies and rites. And that's it. That's all what many people understand. And you know that many religious philosophers expound about that metaphysically, or many artists up there, they try to paint a portrait of what the resurrection is all about. Or maybe you might even seen it in movies, actors that in a way try to imitate the resurrection of Jesus. Now, once a year, Christians around the world remember the resurrection when they celebrate Easter. Remembering that Sunday morning, more than 2,000 years ago. But no one could ever physically, emotionally, spiritually understand specifically what resurrection means. Many people said that the only way for you to understand is maybe to go to the grave and to dig and to see maybe the remains of your loved ones. Maybe that will be something close for you to understand what does it mean. Because when you look down at the body of someone that you love, here on earth, resurrection is not a theological idea as many preach about, and or is not even a historical event, but it is to the Christian, and I hope it is to you as it is to me, a personal promise that God will heal the deepest sadness that human being can feel. Now, if you think about at the beginning, God warned Adam and Eve that the disobedience will lead to death, right? And even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul reminds us that the wages of sin is what? It is death. And do you remember the last time that maybe God ever spoke face to face with humankind? He pronounced the fatal words in Genesis 3:19 when he said, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return," where? To the dust or to the ground. Now, return to the ground, what does it mean to us? Now, I wonder if Adam and Eve actually understood what those words meant. Because if you remember, Adam and Eve lived what? In a perfect world, right? So sometimes I think about it and I said, did Adam and Eve actually understood specifically when God expressed, said that you will return to the ground? Believe it or not, they did. Maybe not in that instant. Maybe not in that specific moment when God expressed those words. But they soon found out, from the moment they began to realize that the skin can actually wrinkle, that their hair could become gray, that their sight will actually dim, the muscles sore, that they experience even a stomachache, and that they realize that accidents start to happen. And when they saw those friendly animals that actually turned animals to be vicious, but mostly when they actually saw the people, that perfect creation from the Lord became violent toward one another. That's until when they realized what he meant when God said, "You will return to the ground." And when at last Adam and Eve saw their own son, Abel, stopped moving and breathing and thinking, When they saw his cold, motionless body decay and stink, so they had no choice but to dig the ground and to bury their own son. Now, my brothers and sisters, since that day until this day, we still experience the same sorrows, the same pain, and we grieve the death of those that are taken before us. But my brothers and sisters, Jesus' death ended with the reign of selfishness, because Satan has a long-standing misconception about God in heaven. He thinks that it is God's power that makes God who he is. Consequently, he covets God's power. And in fact, it was his attempt to take the place of God that made Satan the evil one. That's what the Bible in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Look what it says. For you have said in your heart, and this is talking about Lucifer, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So my brothers and sisters, it was actually Satan, the bride, this sorrow. And it was he who deceived the first human creation. Now, in that act of selfishness from Lucifer, in wanting to have the power and privilege of God, he proved that he is an enemy of goodness. That is why sin is in its very nature of selfishness. Do you believe that sin is actually a nature of selfishness? Do you believe that? It is. Now, when we think about that, when all these things actually happened since the beginning, there was only someone with the courage to carry God's infinite love to its ultimate conclusion and overcome the selfishness that had infected our world because of Satan's sin. Only someone who will demonstrate through his life the very opposite of Satan's selfishness. Someone who had everything, who could do anything, yet who voluntarily, my brothers and sisters, chose to be sacrificed. Oh yes, my brothers and sisters, it was Jesus. Death that paid that price for sin. That God hates sin, the Bible says and reminds us that even though God hates sin, because we know that God hates sins, yes? But he loves sinners. He loves you. He loves me. And it was Jesus' resurrection, believe it or not, that proved that God is more powerful than sin. Now, if the death of God's Son proved God's love and unselfishness, If his death paid the price for our sin, his resurrection show that God has power to overcome sin. And how many of you say amen to that? Yes. God's power could overcome sin, my brothers and sisters. And it was through Jesus' resurrection that very Sunday morning. It's a proof that God won't let death win. Amen? Now, the things that destroyed every human life, the one thing over which we are completely helpless, the most feared and dreaded even in life, Jesus has overcome it. People today, they still try to find a way to overcome death. But sorry to say that they find in a different places. But praise be to God that He had already brought the solution to humans. Amen? That others like Jesus, friends like Lazarus, were made alive only to die again. In Jesus' death, was this death was actually defeated forever. Amen? That's why His resurrection proves not just the love of God, not just the power of God, but also infinite and ultimate sacrifice that Jesus did for you and me on the cross. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all should be made what? Alive." How many of you say amen? Yes, through Adam we were sentenced to death. But it was through Jesus that death could be overcome and we could live forever again. Amen? Now, as important and indispensable as Christ's death was, it could not have accomplished its intended purpose without the historical event of His resurrection. Amen? Because Jesus' death without the resurrection would have been in vain. But thanks to that resurrection, my brothers and sisters, thanks because of Jesus overcoming death, sacrifice was not in vain. So the resurrection of Christ from the dead was the Father's seal to the mission of Christ. And it was a public expression of His entire satisfaction in the anointing work. Oh, my brothers, how amazing our loving Father God is to give His only begotten Son so that He would have take your place, my place. But not only just that, for Him also to overcome death and to be victorious over death, so that victory that He has over death could be actually your victory for salvation. Amen? Now the fact that Jesus was raised from the death not only provide the validation of His death, but also justify the claims He had made during His earthly ministry regarding His nature and mission. Now the Bible tells us, my brothers and sisters, and you could read in Romans chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Romans chapter 6, and even the book of Acts chapter 17. By His resurrection, Jesus overcame death, defeated the forces of evil, and obtained righteousness for us. His resurrection became a pledge of our future immortality. But it also provided the living force for us to walk in new life. But not just that. It also furnishes proof of a future judgment. Amen? If you go with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you could read the whole chapter, but I just want you in a way to have a sense, a notion, what resurrection, what Jesus' resurrection is all about. This is the chapter where you need to read. But not just to read, but this is also a chapter that it needs to remind you what the resurrection is all about. Because in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, Paul explains in detail the importance of the resurrection of Christ. Why? Because just like today, many people in Corinth didn't believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why this is very important for us too today. Paul gives in this chapter, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, six dreadful consequences if there were no resurrection. Do you know them? If not, let's read them. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 14, the first thing that Paul tells us about that if there were no resurrection, preaching Christ will be senseless. Do you understand that? Without His resurrection, what we preach about Jesus is meaningless. It doesn't mean nothing to us, and it doesn't mean nothing to the Christian life. But in the same verse 14, Paul also reminds us that if there were no resurrection, faith in Christ would be useless. And if you go in the next verse, verse 15, Paul reminds us that if there were no resurrection, all the witnesses and preachers of the resurrection will be liars. So that means if I preach about Jesus, death, but I don't preach about His resurrection, I'll be called what? A liar. Because Jesus' death will be what? In vain without His resurrection. But in verse 17, Paul also tells us that if there were no resurrection, no one will be redeemed from sin. Why? Because it was because of Jesus' resurrection that we could overcome sin. Because sin is death, in other words. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. But nonetheless, in verse 18, Paul also reminds us that if there were no resurrection, all former believers will have perished. So all the people, including yourself and myself, we had already what? Been death. We had already died. But also, Paul also reminds us in verse 19 that if there were no resurrection, Christians will be the most miserable people on the earth. But Christ, my brothers and sisters, indeed has risen from the death. And how many of you say amen? Has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. In verse 20 on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it gives us that assurance that we will follow Him in the resurrection. Amen? So don't be afraid, in other words. If you have to die today, if you have to die tomorrow, because if you die believing in Christ, death and resurrection, guess what? You will be resurrected when the Son of Man comes once again. Amen. So the resurrection, my brothers and sisters, is about life and hope. Let's read what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says. Let's go to your Bibles. Let's read it together. The resurrection is about life and hope. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look at what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercies has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of who? Of Jesus Christ from the death. So isn't that amazing? So Jesus' resurrection, my brothers and sisters, is about life and hope, but not just that. The resurrection is not just about life and hope, because the resurrection is also about power. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, by his power, God raised the Lord from where? From the death, and he will raise us also. Amen? So isn't that amazing, my brothers and sisters? How important Jesus' resurrection is to you and to me and to all the believers. Jesus' resurrection is not just about life and hope, but it's also about power. But besides life, hope, and power, my brothers and sisters, Jesus' resurrection is also about transformation. Amen? Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Look at what the Bible says. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us, not because of righteousness things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So if it's one thing that we know about the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that in a way convict us of our sinful nature. It is the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, that reminds you who you are. But it is also the Holy Spirit that guides you where you need to go. Amen? So, my brothers and sisters, how important is Jesus' resurrection? How important it is. It is essential. Amen? It is part of the plan of salvation. Without the resurrection, that plan will not be fulfilled. Because resurrection of Jesus is about hope, life, power, and what else? And transformation. Now the resurrection, my brothers and sisters, is the triumphant and glorious victory for every believer. Amen? And it is the triumphant victory for you as well. And it is the victory because Jesus Christ died, but he was also buried and rose the third day according to the scripture. Amen? Remember the message of the cross. The cross reminds you that you are guilty. Amen? The cross reminds you that it should have been you that should have been sacrificed there. Because you are guilty, because I am guilty. So the cross reminds you of your sinful nature. The cross reminds you that we are sinners. But how amazing it is that it is also the cross that reminds you the love of God to give his only begotten Son to take your place, to take my place. But the Bible said, to the cross, he went down to the grave. And from the grave, he rose what? Again, victorious over death. So the resurrection, my brothers and sisters, is so important for the believer. Without it, the death of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, is meaningless. It means nothing. So the death in Christ will, or Jesus actually, according to Thessalonians 4:13 and 18, he said that he rose again, and those that will died in Christ will be what? Resurrected again, be transformed by the power of God, but not just that, my brothers and sisters. We will live eternally, forever. So how important is the resurrection of Jesus Christ? May the resurrection of Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, be that important as Jesus that died on the cross, because it demonstrates that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. It proves that God has the power to raise us from the death. Amen? And it guarantees that those who believe in Christ will not remain dead, but will be resurrected unto eternal life. That should be our blessed hope until Jesus returns. Yes, my brothers and sisters, every time we partake in communion, we are reminded of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. But we're not reminded of the resurrection of Jesus. The death and resurrection of Jesus go hand to hand. Because without one or the other, you and I will not be redeemed. So just remember that through the resurrection, we have life, hope, power, and transformation. As we partake in the Lord's Supper today, not just remember what Jesus did for you, that he shed the blood, that innocent blood, to cleanse you. But he also rose again from death. And he was victorious to give you victory over death. I would like to invite you to stand at this very moment. I want to have a prayer. And after this prayer, my brothers and sisters, for those who are going to partake or participate in the humility service, which is the foot washing, we want to tell you that we have several places. For the ladies, we have set up the fellowship hall. I believe for couples, we have that youth room. For men, we have that, I believe it's that junior classroom, the one by that ladies room, and then for the ladies, we have the Hispanic, I think, Sabbath school by the ladies bathroom. So my brothers and sisters, the first thing that you are to do in order for you to partake on communion, it is to humble yourself to one another. Amen? Just as Jesus did. He humbled himself. He was the King of Kings. Amen? But he humbles himself because from king he became what? A servant to serve you, to serve me. To give us that example. And if you and I are to reflect Jesus' character, you and I need to humble ourselves with one another. So let's participate in the foot washing. And right after we participate in the foot washing, we'd encourage you to come back here so that we could partake in the emblems of the bread and the grape juice that represent the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your word. For your word reminds us, Father, that without Jesus' resurrection, his death would be in vain. So his resurrection is so important to us, Lord, because his resurrection gives us victory over death. And soon, Father, you are to return to claim those who will remain faithful to you and those who have died faithful to you. Thank you, Father. As we go and participate in the foot washing, let us remember, Lord, that we are here to serve because you serve us. So that way, Father, with humble hearts, after that, we will come back again here to the sanctuary and partake in the body of Jesus that was broken for all of us, to remind us the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I read from the Holy Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. The Word of God said, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I'm going to ask our brother David to pray for the blessing of that bread that represents the body of Jesus.
Our Father God in heaven, what a privilege, Father, to be in this moment in recognizing what you have done for us, that as you laid yourself the iniquity of us all, we appreciate, Father, what you have done for us. We deeply appreciate that you offered your body to be beaten and abused as a sacrifice for us all. You were smitten, afflicted, wounded, and bruised for our transgression. So, Lord, as we partake this bread in resemblance of your broken body, bless it, O Lord. Forgive us. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we are waiting for everybody to be served, if somebody has a testimony or want to give praises to the Lord, please raise your hand. We'll take the mic to you.
Happy and grateful to God for all the blessings he has given us and my family, and also for having my son, who is celebrating his birthday today. And AJ, happy birthday.
Amen.
Praise God.
He said thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, that's all I want to say. Praise God for all everything that has happened to our lives. Thank you.
Amen. Anybody else?
I just want to praise God for just his goodness and just the beautiful gift that he gave us in our trip to Albion. And just that I was able to have my grandsons with me, and that we had God's presence all around us, and just all the beauty of the sea and the mountains, and just everything, the fellowship, I just praise him for the way that he brings our hearts together and unites us in him. And I'm just excited to see what further things he has for us this year.
Amen. Anybody else? And I want to thank him. He is worthy of all praises. My oldest son, he turned 33 years old Thursday, the 5th of this month. And I thank God for him and for all of my children, because for a while I thought I was not going to have children. But, you know, God is an awesome God. He knows our needs. And he is the greatest provider. I want to thank the Lord also, because my retirement is just now. I'm supposed to be my last day on the 5th. They asked me to work another month for a training, but I will be working 4 hours, so I'm already tasting the the rest of being more than 20 years back and forth to work. And I thank the Lord, and I also praise him, because all these years in one company, it's amazing. He is an awesome God, and I thank him and I praise him for everything that he has done in my life, our lives. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
I just want to, thank you to God, I guess. But this week has just been a powerful week of prayer, from things like finding our goal path to Great America to this 14-year-old girl, being able to give birth to her baby alive. Because, Lucy and her friend's granddaughter, got pregnant at 14, and then all of a sudden, before she's about to have the baby, she's been having headaches that week, and her back's been hurting, and all of a sudden, one night, she was just unconscious. They're trying to, wake her up, but she wouldn't wake up, and, I guess, she was just in a lot of pain before she fell unconscious, and then so me and Lucy started praying. We were praying, I was praying in English, because I don't know Spanish, but praise God that the lady, she was like, oh, thank you. And then literally within the hour or something like that, she came back and she woke up again. And then the next day she had her baby. So it was just, and the baby's healthy. She's healthy now. Everything's fine. And so that was amazing. I was wow, Lord, there's still miracles happening today. And I think sometimes we forget that. And so this was just an awesome reminder. And then my nieces are here with me today. And I love when they come to church. And
amen.
So, yeah, just don't give up on God. He's still working from little stuff to big stuff. And he's always out there looking out for you.
Praise amen. The Lord. Yeah. Has everyone been served? Amen. Eat of this bread. Just remember that this bread represents Jesus' body. That same body that was given for you and for me on the cross. Let us all partake of the body of Jesus Christ. Corinthians chapter 11, now verse 25. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. I'm going to ask our brother David again to pray over the grape juice.
Let's pray. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and serious plants beneath the flood lost all their guilty stain. Lost all their guilty stain, close all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath the flood lost all their guilty stains. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood shed at the cross. Washing our sin away. What a privilege, Father, we have at this moment that we can claim all your promises. We may fail, Father, like I said earlier, but thanks you that as you at the right hand of the Father interceding for your children here, kneeling before you, that as we partake this grape juice, represent that bloodshed, we have now hope. We can claim those promises you put upon us. We can't wait, Father, to take this moment with you in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We will continue with praises and testimonies. If anyone else?
I forget. I greeted my son, happy birthday, and I thank God for another year. Christine also celebrated her birthday last Thursday. Monday. I was
that.
Corrected by my son. I forgot I have another kid here.
Amen.
Yeah, thank God. Another year.
Amen. Okay, Woody.
Yes, I want to thank God for another day, and for all of us here, because as you look around, God has given us all another day. And I thank God for that. He's blessed me for many, many years, and I'm sure his blessings are upon all of us, and we thank you. But right now, most of all, and thank you, Jesus, for everything. Thank you. But I want us all to remember those children that are stuck in the cave and their coach and all those that are helping them to pray for them, to get them out of that cave safely and to bring everybody home, and just thank God for those people who are out there saving those children's lives. Thank you, Lord God. Be with them and be with us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Hi, I would like to thank God for his healing hands. A year ago, I was recovering from a kidney transplant in a hospital, and God's been good, and we're out here celebrating
each
day. You know.
Praise the Lord.
And I know it's been a journey every day. You know, it's been an act of faith, and I praise God for a good sister who donated her kidney. You know,
amen.
And we're looking for the ultimate transplant, you know, of the heart when we get to heaven. You know, thank
Praise
you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
I just want to praise the Lord for the just for giving us a window into just a tiny bit how heaven would be when we went to Albion, right? And just reflecting on what I experienced there, I saw my brothers and sisters there. We're laughing together, canoeing together. We had a wonderful Vespers, almost close to midnight. We're just laughing all night. And God reminds us of what this could be. It's going to be like 10,000 times to exponentially how it's going to be. And that was just a preview. When you have the Lord in your hearts, how joyous. We had just joy all around us. You know, all of us, Christina, my wife, my children, Kong, his family. And, you know, I fell in the river from the canoe. It was funny. It was fun, and that's what family in Christ got to do. And I'm just very thankful for that.
Amen.
It was a wonderful experience and time we had together.
Amen.
I just want to praise God that we live in a country that has this freedom to celebrate and praise Him. Last Wednesday was just inaugural of the freedom that we have in this country. I migrated here in America, and I spend most of my life now here more than where I came from. And I thank you so much for God that put this country in God's law,
amen,
His constitution. So we have this freedom, brothers and sisters. Let's not take it for granted. God is good.
Amen. Sister Robin?
I want to just praise the Lord for so many things that He's been doing in my family's life. And one thing in particular is seeing Isaiah serving as deacon in this beautiful service. He's probably I'm probably going to hear it later, but I'm just, you know, it's so amazing to see your children, you know, serving. And I was just this morning in Sabbath school with Sister Norma, I was just reminiscing how I would bring him, you know, to cradle roll, and how I have Abraham now that I'm bringing. And it's just an awesome feeling that, you know, you're being able to bring your children from such a young age into learning, because they do learn, you know. You might not think they don't understand or grasp, but eventually you're gonna reap the blessings of bringing your children to Sabbath school.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Has everyone been served? Amen. From the wine, which is the grape juice, in remembrance of Jesus, it was He who shed that innocent blood from the cross. Let that blood cleanse you. Let the blood cleanse me. And very soon, we will be transformed for eternity. Let us drink. Very soon, my brothers and sisters, we might not have to partake from communion, because soon Jesus is coming. Amen? But we will partake, the Bible said, of the great Lord's Supper, in which there is a supper prepared by Jesus, by His own hands, and with His own hands that was actually nailed on the cross. He will serve us. Amen? Would you like to be part of that?
Amen.
The Bible said, the Holy Scripture said, that after the disciples had partaken on the Lord's Supper, they say that they went with great joy singing hallelujah to the Lord. Let us all stand and let's sing together. Amen. And on your way out, our deacons are going to be collecting an offering. If you want to, in a way, thank the Lord or in gratitude for what God has done to you, you could, in a way, give this offering for the Lord. Amen.